Hey everyone, welcome to Recovery Rocks. As you know, Lisa and I love talking about destigmatizing alcohol and the intersection of pretty much everything in life, but in particular, we're talking about workplace. Talking about sobriety and proving it to your employer can be so difficult, and our friends at SoberLink really want to help. SoberLink is a high-tech portable breathalyzer system that A, uses facial recognition technology to verify your identity. B, has unique sensors to ensure that no other air sources are being used. And C, sends results directly to your specified contact, so there is no questioning whether or not you took the test. Being in recovery from alcohol does not define the future of your career. Let SoberLink help. Visit soberlink.com/recovery-rocks for an exclusive $50 off promo code. You can also just check out that link in our show notes.
Hey everyone, welcome back. It's Lisa and I'm here with Tawny.
It's me.
So I think if you're regular listeners, you know that we just had this period where I did some episodes without Tawny, and then Tawny did some episodes without me, with our dear friend Irina Gonzalez co-hosting with her. And the reasons for that, the reason we needed to do that for basically, you know, almost a couple months, was that we've both been dealing with very intense kind of situations and times in our lives, and we, you know, rely on each other. Teamwork makes the dream work. We rely on each other to, you know, to help out when we're overwhelmed. And Tawny, you can talk about your experience, but I'll just say quickly what happened with me was that, you know, I talk about my mom a lot on this podcast, and that she is, you know, she's been in her independent living in this really, you know, lovely retirement community that's also got like next levels of care. And she fell and broke her hip. And that really just like, you know, it was very touch and go. And the end result is that she is now in their skilled nursing unit. And she has, you know, she was already in dementia, but now it's, you know, gone way beyond. And physically now it's totally different. So this is where it's been a big transition. I'm very fortunate that I have the flexibility that I could be there like 3 out of the last 5 weeks and, you know, and be able to, you know, help and just sit with her and all of that. And it's been very heavy. And also, you know, moving out of her independent living, taking her home apart. So I'm spent, and this is going to go on, but in a different way, but it's stable now. And so I've got some big work obligations right now, but after that, you know, I'm really going to focus on trying to get back to something like normal. And Tawny, tell us about what you've done.
Yes. So this episode's reminding me of, did you watch Ozark?
I couldn't. I loved Breaking Bad, but I couldn't get into Ozark. Like Breaking Bad's my favorite.
Well, I also loved Breaking Bad. So, I mean, there's a scene in Ozark when Jason Bateman is, you know, he's off doing something, and his wife Laura Linney is like, when he gets home, she's like, "Where have you been?" And he was like, you know, laundering money, killing people, doing all, you know, and he's just like,
what one does?
He's like, she's like, where have you been? What have you been doing? He just goes, life stuff. And Nick
this
and
is
I,
life stuff.
Yeah, like Nick and I loved that so much. We say it all the time now, instead of like going into the nitty-gritty detail of like, oh, this is going on and this is going on, it's like dealing with some life stuff right now. And so yeah, this episode is life stuff. So yeah, my life stuff has been, a big chunk of it has been book stuff. And
right,
that will be going on until, you know, the book comes out in September of 23, so I will be dealing with book stuff for a while. And, but, you know, also with that, there's like some family stuff there. Nick broke his ankle. You know, we're launching, we have our vinegar business, Sour Humanoid. So there's like a lot going on. We had to put our dog down in April. Yeah. And our cat, we had, I'm laughing. She had to have one of her eyes removed in September. The week my book was due to my editor, I find out that my cat is blind in her left eye and she's in extreme pain, basically living with a chronic migraine. So all of a sudden I have to drop all this money to remove my cat's eye and finish my book. So it was that this is when Lisa was hosting the show by herself, you know.
It was intense for you.
It was a lot. It was really, it was a, one of those, one or two of those things is a lot, but all of it together was, it was exhausting. But my cat, Meg White, is doing great now. She's rocking the Cyclops look. I'm obsessed with her. And she, like, she's honestly nicer now because she was in chronic pain and we had no idea, you know? And pets can't tell you that. They don't, they can't say, hey, I have a headache. So,
right.
So, you know, that was difficult. So yeah, this year, especially the summer, I think the summer for you and I was a lot.
Yeah.
Like you and I had a really intense summer and writing, finishing my book and just all this other life stuff left me feeling depleted, completely. Yes. Depleted. Like I've given all of my creative energy to my book. I've given all of my, you know, I wasn't even hanging out with my friends that much. Nick and I weren't going on dates very much. It was just a lot. So since yeah. I've turned in the book, since, you know, Nick's ankle is healed and we're able to walk around again, I'm back to refilling the cup.
Yes.
You know, when I was dealing with all that, I wasn't doing a lot of things for fun. I wasn't going to concerts or theater or, like I said, we weren't doing a lot of date nights because it was just really hard to just get out of bed sometimes.
Yep.
So now, you know, I turned in the book, mid-September and I'm like making up for lost time, Lisa, you know. Yeah. I am going to shows. I am filling
up. I know. You keep sending me like the, you got tickets.
Yes.
From Ticketmaster. Yeah.
Yeah. So quick recap. I'm going to end with the most recent, my favorite. And then I want to hear how you refill your cup. So, you know,
but
since
you've seen so many good ones.
I've done a lot. So I saw Lizzo, which was truly iconic. Saw her at Madison Square Garden. Incredible. If you get the chance to see Lizzo, highly recommend it. And then I saw Funny Girl on Broadway. This was my first Broadway show since 2020, since January of 2020. Lea Michele was born for this role, obviously. Yeah. Literally born for this role. Like, she's been low-key playing Fanny Bryce her whole life, so now she's officially playing Fanny Bryce. And then I saw... last night I saw Melissa Etheridge and I could do a whole episode on her. but for the sake of time, I will just say she was doing a one woman show. It's only 12 nights and I am extremely fortunate that I got tickets. And so, you know, it's her one woman show. She's basically like performing her autobiography. She wrote her life story. She performs it. She tells you about her life. She sings a song. It was incredible to see an artist of that caliber in such a small theater with like the max capacity was 560 people. So, I mean, talk about an intimate experience, you know? And
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and she started a nonprofit called the Etheridge Foundation. She lost her son to opioids early in the pandemic.
I remember that. Yeah.
And she started a nonprofit called the Etheridge Foundation that helps fund research for plant medicine that helps people get off of opioids. She's been a big advocate for plant medicine, cannabis, psilocybin, ayahuasca for a while. Cannabis was big in her cancer recovery. And she like,
God, I forgot all about her cancer. That was, yes, yeah.
Yes. And I mean, it was like, she talked about going through chemo and she was asked to sit, to perform at the Grammys doing a Janis Joplin tribute.
She's so perfect for that.
I know, her voice is perfect. And her one of her cancer doctors was like, you know, you're going to need to wear a wig. No one wants to see a bald rock star on stage. And you know, I mean, Melissa is like, two middle fingers in the air, goes, you can watch the YouTube, you can watch it on YouTube. She's singing Peace of My Heart, bald, just totally rocking it. But like something that I think you would really enjoy was she's at one point, she's basically giving like a slideshow presentation on how alcohol and opioids and cigarettes kill way more people than plant medicine. And it, at one point I was like, am I at a concert? Am I like, what's going on here?
Seriously, right?
Yeah.
My gosh.
I loved that she used her platform to talk about how many people die from alcohol every year.
Yeah.
Versus people that are using mushrooms for medicinal purposes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I really appreciated that. And I'll stop. You'll have
no,
to.
No, that's
I'll
amazing. Stop.
But yeah, I mean, if you're looking for a nonprofit to donate to or learn more about, check out the Etheridge Foundation. Just truly a living legend. I'm so grateful I got to see her.
Yeah, that's great. And that is like, I love how that's filling your cup, your heart, yourself back mm-hmm. up when you're so depleted, right? Like the things that hugely give you joy.
Yes, I truly felt full when I left the
right.
When I was just like, oh my God, like I needed that. Yes. I felt like yes. I was charging, like I was plugged into the wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I was on red and now I'm like 100%. I'm ready. Like I needed that so much.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I feel like with mine, and I don't know if it's different because like your period that you've been going through has been so intensely at home and focused and in your, you know, in your environment, whereas mine has been like going back and forth across the country, sitting in hospital, sitting in, you know, in the rehab and then my mom's new place and doing all this stuff. It's been so active and it's been like
yes,
all this interaction with family and people that like, I feel like this time when it's, you know, I still have work going on, but once I can really clear a lot of that out, like, I feel like it's going to be very quiet for me. I feel like, you know, we always reach into our sobriety toolkits, right? And so for me, like doing the kind of getting through, it was like, you know, the break glass stuff. It wasn't quite the break glass stuff because for me, I don't, when there's something that needs to be done, when things are hard, I don't think about drinking. I don't think about a drug. What do we have to do next? And I show up. It doesn't, that's not when I want to drink and use or anything like that. And I don't often get those signals anymore, but I do. I mean, it's, you know, it's not never. And for me, it's much trickier when, you know, it's a celebration and everybody, you know, you can like for me in old behaviors, I would have come through all this where I've just been like going. It's crazy intense. And I would have been like, when I sat down is when I would have been like, okay, I popped a beer, you know? And even though I didn't drink much beer, I think of that because that's what they used to drink on the train on Fridays going up to Connecticut after a week of work. Like that's when I get more triggered. And so a lot of this now, like I'm going into the toolkit basically for, you know, things this whole time I was, you know, very like, where are my feet? You know, finding gratitude. And there was a lot of gratitude to be found, you know, you know, doing a quick list in my head, reaching out to people. You have been so amazing, as always, of course, my podis. And, of course. But I'm not a huge talker during the stuff when I'm going through it. I'm just kind of like, you know, I just kind of keep going. And, you know, so for me, the refilling is going to be much more about like getting back into, mm-hmm. I'm totally out of my exercise and meditation routine. I've, you know, all of that, like, I want to get back into my routine that gives me the regular filling of my
Yeah. Health. That, I mean, that makes sense. And I'm glad you distinguished, because yes, me being, I've been at home predominantly, you know? So for me, refilling my cup is going downtown and going to concerts, going right. to theater, seeing my friends, you know, right when I was really in it with my book, I texted my close friends and I was like, I love you. I'm in it right now. Yeah. If you want to hang out with me, you got to come uptown. Like this is how it's going to be this summer. I'm like, you know, you and I talk about boundaries a lot. I put that boundary up with what I needed to do, and how I could show up for my friends. And I was like, please don't take it personally. If I tell you I can make it to an event and then I cancel last minute, don't take it personally. This book is taking literally every ounce of energy that I have. Yeah. And girl, since I turned it in, I'm sleeping so much. Like,
I mean, really feeling it physically.
I really was. And, you know, I'm refilling my cup is also taking bubble baths. Like,
I'm
all about really leaning into like luxurious self-care, like buy the nice bath bombs, light a bunch of candles. A practice I've gotten into is buying myself a bouquet of flowers every week.
I know, that was such a smart thing.
Like every single week I buy myself a fresh bouquet of flowers. I keep it on my desk. And that's just something that makes me really happy. And, you know, like, so whatever that is for you, whatever makes you feel good, whether it's refilling your cup, but also like what helps you take it one day at a time. That's where, like, you know, the bubble baths came in. That's where buying the flowers came in. Those were tools that helped me take it one day at a time. I knew there was a light at the end of the tunnel, but I wanted pretty flowers and fizzy bath bombs to get me there.
And that's right. That's right. And like, there is, you know, I mean, there's no, it's a nobility in just not doing that, you know. And I love the way you were very upfront. Like it would have been harder for me in the past to be upfront and say, hey guys, this is a defined period that I'm going to be, you know, uptown and I just have to lock in. It's not that I don't love you. It's not that I won't come back to downtown after this is turned in, but for now I got to be here. And, you know, I would have been much more, that is so much smarter than what I would have done, which would have been like, every time there was an invite or something like that, being, I'll try to make it. And then that, and then dreading it. And then that day being like, I can't make it, you know? Mm-hmm.
It actually got to a point to where I told people, don't invite me to anything until after September 15th.
Yes. Because I remember you did that. That's right.
When the book was due. And I was like, honestly, September 15th at the earliest, and I'm going to need some weeks to recover. So we're talking October. I might be available in October. And it was like, it felt really good to put up that boundary and say, like, this is what I need. I need this to do this really big thing. I need to take this time and really channel my energy and lay low for a little bit. And everyone understood. No one gave me shit for it.
That's the thing. It's like, I always think like somehow like maybe somebody is disappointed. Oh, too bad. It's going to be a fun dinner. But then they go and have a fun dinner and that's okay. You know,
I know. And then like, I feel like it was also a good way of a good example of communication, letting my friends know this is what's going on. So they were actually really supportive, like sending me flowers. I got a couple friends, including you, sent me some Seamless and Uber Eats gift certificates of like, you have a lot going on. You shouldn't worry about dinner for a couple nights. Like, people really showed up because I communicated, hey, this is where I am right now. So by me letting my friends know where I was mentally and physically, they were also able to show up for me in a, yes. in a new way, which was really, really special to me.
That is huge. That is huge. And it kind of reminds me of when I first got sober and I had to say to my friends, like, hey, I can't go to dinner. I can't, you know, at least for now, I need to really protect my recovery and whatever. And I can't put myself in a position where I might get triggered. It's not about you. It's not about judging you, nothing like that. It's about me not getting triggered. And they were like, okay, you want to have brunch? It's like, yeah. Okay, you want to go to the museum? Like I always say, like, I was a vampire. I didn't know there was life in New York City yes. during the day. And, you know, people do want to support you when you're going through shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's real. And it's also, you know, like communicating with your partner, like letting Nick know, I can't, you know, we would talk about our week coming up and it's like, I have a really busy week. I can cook this night, but I can't cook these other nights. So we look at our schedules and we're like, okay, our life is bananas right now. How can we still eat healthy and take care of ourselves? You know, like it's communication. It all comes down to communication. And then if we did have a couple weeks where it was takeout almost every night. And that was when like, it is what it is.
That's fine.
Like, you do what you got to do.
Yeah. I also, just for any fellow 12 steppers out there or anyone who sort of incorporates a higher power into their recovery in any way, I leaned hard into that. I leaned hard into what I could and could not control, the serenity prayer. Mm-hmm. And then I, you know, and turning the rest over, you know, whether you think of it like I do in 12 step of like turning it over to your higher power, or you think of it just as like, I can't control that. I'm not driving this bus. So I'm going to let go of the wheel because I can only change what I can change. Whatever it is there, like a lot of working through like acceptance of this is where we are now. And I can only do what I can do. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that I'm going to damage or risk put myself at risk if I start trying to run a show that I can't run.
Mm. Well, and I think you and I taking breaks from the podcast was a really good example of self-care and living in the moment, taking life one day at a time. I'm like,
yeah,
I need a couple weeks off. I needed a couple weeks off.
I did too. I really needed that. And I won't say I didn't have FOMO.
Oh, same. Like it killed me to know. I was like, oh my God, Lisa's recording. Oh my God, she's interviewing this person. Like, but I needed to sleep. I literally slept.
There was no question. You know? There was no question.
Yeah. What are some songs about like, I don't know. Are there like self-care filling? I'm thinking of like, so Ricky Martin, La Copa de Vida, the cup of life. That was the FIFA.
Right. I love Ricky Martin. I loved him on General Hospital.
Icon. True. Like, I mean, he does it all. And he was in Gianni Versace.
Oh, right.
And this isn't music, but Lee Stein wrote a book called Self Care.
Oh, I love that book.
It's satire. It's making fun of the women's wellness industry. If you're looking, I read it in a day. It's a quick, fun satire about how, you know, self care
and internet culture, like the meme culture and all, you know.
Like she makes fun of The Wing, which is like, you know, the women's co-working place. Like, it's really well done. Highly, highly recommend that. So like maybe take a bath and read Self-Care.
For a laugh.
Yes, exactly. Laugh at your self-care.
No, that is a good book. Yeah, I think on the music thing, you got me thinking because of just when we were talking earlier about the shows you've seen. And I have to say, like, the moment, I love the Melissa Etheridge thing. And I love Funny Girl. I would have loved to see Lizzo with you. Mm. You were like right up there.
Okay, Lisa, I was shocked when
I was the pictures you sent me were insane.
I was right underneath her. The tickets were, it was $200 for pit tickets, which, you know, you and I go to a lot of concerts, so we know $200 might sound expensive, but for pit tickets at one of the biggest names in music right now is insanely cheap. So I was like, okay, well, yeah. I guess, yeah, we're going to go to see Lizzo in the pit. So she put on such a powerful show. I don't know if you watched her Amazon show, where she's looking for the dancers.
Oh yeah, I love that show.
So it was really cool to see the dancers and then see Lizzo perform. And she's like obviously an incredible performer, but she's also like low-key motivational speaker. Like she has she has you do these like close your eyes and do some visualization exercises. Like probably 5 different times throughout the night, she has you yell out, "I'm beautiful, I'm special, I deserve love." I mean, it was just like sprinkled in with her, you know, kick-ass music and twerking while playing the flute. I mean, it was like
she's a classically trained flautist.
She is a classically trained flautist, and she does it all. She is so multifaceted, so talented. It was funny. I went with one of my friends, and that was my friend's first concert ever.
What?
I know. And I was like, I hate like this has set the bar really high. This is not how most concerts are.
How has your friend never gone to a show?
I don't know. I mean, she's a musical theater kid. So she's seen everything on Broadway. She's an actor.
Wow. But just still.
Not big into live music. It just hasn't happened yet.
Huh.
So it's like, yeah, this is a really
don't use this as your bar.
Yeah, this is like of all I've seen like probably hundreds, thousands of concerts because I've been going since literal infancy. It's like this is one of the like top shows I've been to is Lizzo, you know? So if you can see Lizzo, highly recommend it or watch her show.
Her show is great. It's like a reality show where she's auditioning the dancers for her tour.
I will say, you know, you and I have briefly touch on body image throughout our conversations, and seeing these women of all different shapes and sizes in thong leotards, just like rocking their cellulite, felt so empowering. I've got thighs, I've got a booty, I have cellulite, I got dimples, I have all of it. And I've always been, you know, ashamed of it. But seeing these women just unapologetically, like,
yeah, there's twerking nothing to apologize in a thong, for.
Are you kidding me? Like, I left that concert feeling better about myself, which I don't
feel
think
inspired. Like,
really. It was like, going to like a self-help seminar meets concert meets twerk fest. I mean, it checks all the boxes. So,
All right. So fill your cups, everybody.
Fill your cup. Do what you need and set boundaries. Advocate for what you need. Communicate. If you have a crazy week coming up, tell your partner, tell your kids, tell your friends, like, let them know this is where you are and ask for what you need.
Yep. That's right. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. You can find my blog, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar,
And it is available in bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.